Now, there's a saying, isn't there? Can a leopard change its spots? Can a leopard change its spots? It's kind of a rhetorical question, isn't it? In other words, it's a question where there's an answer that we already know. And in this case, it would be no. Of course, a leopard can't change its spots. Usually when we ask that question, we're talking about someone who just behaves the same way over and over again, and they just never seem to change. And in the end, we don't expect that they can change. Let me tell you a story. Let me introduce you to Graham. This is Graham Seed. He's from Middlesbrough. And if you think he looks a bit scary there, you should have seen him when he was a young man. He got into all sorts of trouble, stealing, drugs, violence, and he was a football hooligan for years, something he describes in his book. I'd watched Middlesbrough FC a few times as a lad with my uncles, but this time it was different. The crowds, the noise, the excitement, the atmosphere was amazing. There were so many memorable matches. And then he lists some memorable matches, but they're memorable because of the injuries that he sustains from fighting. I was also knocked over the head with a blunt, sword-like instrument that left a long, deep gash and had four teeth knocked out. And I loved it. He loved the violence and the thrill of the violence that he experienced through the football hooliganism. And his life went, just continued on this sort of downward trajectory, in and out of prison, addiction, living rough, until he eventually reached rock bottom. But he's befriended by some local Christians. They would sit and chat to him on the park bench where he spent most of his time. And when he ends up in hospital, literally at death's door, they visit him. On the sixth day, the Christians, Pete, Aidan and Mike, arrived. They'd missed me on my bench and asked around and found out what had happened. "Can we pray for him?" they asked my mam. "Yes, of course. I don't know what you mean by pray for him, but go for it." So they laid hands on me and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, give this man life." That evening, I opened my eyes for the first time in 6 days. I was confused and disorientated. My mam was by my bedside. "What's going on? What am I doing here?" "You won't believe what's happened to you," she said. She told me how ill I'd been and about the Christians who'd prayed for me. "Who did they pray to?" "God or Jesus, I think," she told me. "Jesus? Why does Jesus want anything to do with a scumbag like me? I thought if there was a God, he would only want to know the nice people who didn't swear, fight, or steal." "I don't know, son, but you can ask them yourself. They're coming back later." This is a turning point for Graham. When he leaves hospital, he goes to church. He does an alpha course, like the one I was talking to you about earlier on. And eventually, he becomes a follower of Jesus. And today, he is happily married with a family and runs a Christian charity called Growing Seeds, which works with young prisoners and ex-offenders. He is a leopard who changed his spots, or rather, God changed them. The Bible has lots of stories about leopards who changed their spots, people whose lives were completely changed by God. And Saul's story that we heard is maybe perhaps the most well-known. We even use the phrase, don't we, of someone having a Damascus Road experience to describe someone having a life-changing experience that completely changes their way of thinking. Saul thinks he's doing the right thing. He's been hunting down the early followers of Jesus to arrest them, or worse. And that's because he's utterly convinced that they are wrong, and that someone has to stop them spreading Jesus' teaching and claiming that Jesus was the Son of God and that he'd risen from the dead. But on his way to Damascus, something happens to change everything. In a blinding flash, Jesus literally stops him in his tracks. And now Saul cannot deny who this Jesus is any longer. So the first thing we learn from Saul's story is that God can change anyone, even the most unlikely people. God also has to do a bit of changing in Ananias's heart too, when he has his vision where God sends him to go and find Saul and restore his sight. He is not convinced at first. He's heard all about Saul and what he's been doing to the Christians, and he's not so sure this leopard could really change his spots. God has to tell him quite firmly, go. Ananias has to be willing to put his own fears aside and trust God knows what he's doing. So fair play to Ananias. He goes and finds Saul and restores his sight. You'd probably have forgiven him if he'd wanted to get a few digs in first, given Saul a piece of his mind before healing him. But Ananias does as God asks. He actually greets him lovingly. Did you notice? As brother, brother Saul. And that's the second thing that we learn from Saul's story. It's an important lesson for all of us hoping to tell others about Jesus. The guys who got to know Graham Seed didn't judge him. They just loved him. Ananias doesn't give Paul a hard time for all the terrible things that he's done. He greets him with love and respect and calls him brother. We too need to be those who treat others with kindness, no matter who they are, and show them God's love for them. This event on the road to Damascus is often referred to as the conversion of Saul. It's interesting that it involved him going blind and then regaining his sight. It's as if Saul needed a bit more time to learn to see with new eyes, to change the way he saw and understood Jesus. And then the third thing that we learn from Saul's story is that conversion isn't a one-off moment. It becomes a journey. God had changed Saul for a purpose. He had a special task for him. He wants him to take the message about Jesus to more and more people, particularly to Gentiles. In other words, people who weren't Jewish as Jesus' first followers were. And that's what he does. Saul changes his name to Paul. This is a new beginning for him, a new identity. And he travels far and wide throughout the countries around the Mediterranean, spreading the gospel, the good news about Jesus, setting up churches, and writing letters, which form a huge chunk of what Christians now have as the New Testament. And probably, in no small part, the reason that we're here today is because of Paul and his message spreading. The flashing light on the road to Damascus was certainly dramatic, but then Paul spends the rest of his life following Jesus and spreading the news about him. We're here today celebrating Finley's baptism. But that is, we hope, just the start of his journey of faith, and that he'll grow up to follow Jesus and discover what purpose and plan God has for him in his own life. We're not all called to travel the world as missionaries like Paul, but God has something for each of us that we can do for him. Let me finish with another story. His name is John Newton. And he was a Church of England priest in the sort of mid to late sort of 1700s. But he hadn't always been a priest. Anyone know what he used to do as a younger man? He'd had a bit of a rough upbringing. His mum had died quite young, and he'd gone to sea with his father from quite a young age. As I say, it was quite a rough life and far from sort of godly. And eventually he became involved in the slave trade and he became the captain of a slave ship. And in 1748, while at sea, he was caught up in a terrifying storm, and in genuine fear for his life, he cried out to God for mercy. And he survived. And so began his journey, turning back to the faith that he'd known as a child, eventually leaving the sea and becoming a priest. It wasn't an overnight change, not like Paul's sort of sudden Damascus Road experience, but something started and then he was on this journey. And that might be the sort of experience that most of us have. And in later years, he openly spoke about his regret at having been involved in the slave trade and actively supported the movement to abolish it, encouraging William Wilberforce in the fight against slavery. He died in 1807, the year that the British slave trade was abolished. One of the things that John Newton is perhaps most famous for these days are the hymns that he wrote as a priest. The words of his most well-known one sum up his own journey and experience of God's unconditional forgiveness and the change that could happen in his life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Can a leopard change its spots? I don't know what a forensic psychologist would sort of make of that phrase. Can a leopard change? Can a leopard change its spots? Well, when God's involved, the answer seems to be a resounding yes. When God calls us and we respond, he can turn our lives around. So just think, if God can turn Saul into Paul, what could he do in your life?